thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the privilege to receive your word. We posture our hearts to honor, to give great value and high esteem to your word. Our hearts are willing. Our ears are open and attentive. And our heart is receptive. And our minds are alert to receive your word. We thank you that your word will be transformative. It will be illuminative. It will cause us to break through to new revelations and new revolutionary truths that we will receive and do and practice forever to the glory of God. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who will anoint our eyes and our ears to see and our ears to hear. We thank you, Father, that the anointing will destroy every yoke of bondage. And we give you all of the praise, the credit, the honor, the glory, the majesty. We give you all the adoration, Lord, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we say. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19, we're talking about dominion over all the works of darkness. If I could just peel the veil off your spiritual eyes and everybody could see in the realm of the spirit, you would notice right away on this earth that the whole atmosphere is congested with hostile forces. Some people think our enemy is a person or, you know, a people group. Our enemy is not a person or a people group. The Bible even tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't have a flesh and blood enemy. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, Jesus is telling us a key, a master key that he's getting ready to give us. Because he gave it to the disciples and he gave it to us if we're disciples of the Lord. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, and one of the other prophets then asked him, but who do you say I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. King James, New King James says the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, Jesus, our Lord, gave us the keys to his kingdom. Keys represent authority and access to unlock or open and close things. If I gave you the keys to my car sitting out there, you would have access to my car to unlock it, to drive it even. See, with these keys, we are to, by faith in him, his word, and his great name, release our God-given or grace-given right to command. So we're talking about dominion over the works of darkness. Now, too often people are allowing themselves, ladies and gentlemen, to be dominated and not to be the, in Jesus' name, dominator by the works of darkness. You and I are not recreated in Christ. We're not born again and given our lives to fully trust and follow Jesus to be dominated by the works of darkness. That's not our inheritance. That's not our portion. See, we've been given a God-given, grace-given right to command, commission, and control here on earth in our sphere of spheres of influence. Too often we forget that we have been given power and authority to exercise and express dominion over all the works of darkness, the devil and demons. Now, somebody quickly asked me, sometimes people ask, well, why don't God do something about the devil? He's already done everything about the devil. That's why we're taking communion, to recognize and remember that the cross that he bore was part of Satan's demise and defeat, total defeat. What Jesus' victory got for us was his victory over death, hell, and the grave. Listen to what he says in Matthew 10:1. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Luke 9:1-2. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority. Everybody say power and authority. So everybody say, I have power and authority over the devil, over demons, over evil spirits. Now, you can't just walk around like a lucky charm, waving it around, because it don't work like a lucky charm. It works when you exercise your faith in his grace-given right to command, control, and to commission. Amen. So he gave them power and authority to cast out all, how many? All demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, authority means delegated power. It is a grace-given and God-given right to command. In other words, it is spiritual authority. Everybody say spiritual authority. See, the highest realm that exists is the realm of the spirit. Now, to understand this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, dear friends online, to understand this, you got to realize that you are a spirit made in the image and likeness of God, made a shade lower than God, and you possess a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body. Now, we are contacted primarily through our five physical senses to this natural realm. But there is a spiritual realm that's higher and superior to this natural realm. The spiritual realm first existed, and it's the realm where God lives. It's the realm of God. It's the realm of glory. The spiritual realm is the highest realm, the superior realm, the priority realm, the preeminent realm. That means operating in the spirit realm means this, ladies and gentlemen, that you are empowered, equipped, and enabled to do three things to the natural realm or any other realm. Override it, overrun it, and oversee it. Now, as Christian believers, born-again Christian believers, Christ follows, it's our objective to be spiritual and not carnal. Because, see, the carnal mind or the carnal man or woman cannot understand these things. Because if you only stay natural or carnal, you won't ever operate, access, or activate your spiritual authority. And you always deal with natural things naturally. And people will say the struggle's real. The challenge is heavy. This is too much. I'm being overwhelmed and overcome. I'm not taking dominion and authority over that work of darkness. Now let's look at one more scripture here. Luke 10:19. Look, Jesus is saying, look. Everybody say look. That means you got to listen. Listen to what Jesus said. I have given you authority over how much? All the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions. Those are just figuratively referring to demons and devils, evil spirits, and crush them. Not be crushed by them, but to crush them. nothing will injure you. See, that's why prayer and praise connects you to your spiritual supernatural power. And that's why our bold faith professions creates and causes a huge spiritual supernatural effect, because you release that authority through your command, your faith command. Now listen what Ephesians 8:4 says: where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Some folks at the house, maybe, or friends. They say, what are you doing? Why are you speaking to that? Why are you saying that? They don't understand you're releasing spiritual authority. Now, let me give you a secret, as we need to be reminded of at the communion table. He said, remember me. What did Jesus do for you and me? He made us kings and priests. Some people say, well, I'm waiting. I'll get to heaven. I'll get my crown. No, you have a kingly position now. You have a priestly position now. Now, listen to this. Because you've been made a king and priest unto God in Christ, your faith-filled words have authority and power in the realm of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So you have been made a king and priest. Where the word of the king is, there's what? Power. His command is backed by greater power. No one can resist or question. What kind of power do you have? You have spiritual power. What does the spiritual realm do? It overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. Amen. So the question is, have you used your power and authority that you've been given? Now, sometimes people's brain go tilt when we start talking about spiritual authority or authority that we have as a believer, because they say it's weird. Because religion always tells you to be weak, to crawl in on your knees, and you scrape your knees and just deal with life as it comes to you. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse. I'm gonna start at verse 5, but I'll read verse 6. 6 is the key one. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. Everybody say, Jesus loved me. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. He loved you. He loved, do you know how much Jesus loved you? He died and went to hell for you. When you take the communion, he said, man, he loved me. You remember that he loved me. He loved me. Then he said, and he washed us from our sins. Everybody say, he loosed me from my sins. So wash means he loosed you from your sins. That means sin has no control over you. Amen. Sin can't dominate you anymore. Amen. You got to say, sin has no hold on me. Now sin, we said sin, Satan, sickness, shame, sorrow are all synonymous. Those five things are synonymous. So when you say, sin has no more hold on me, I've been loosed from the chains and shackles of sin. I don't have to be sin conscious. I don't have to be unconscious. I can be righteousness conscious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. See, he washed us. What does sin do? Sin separates you from God. God's peace, God's power, God's protection, and God's provision. So I've been washed. I've been washed in the blood. Like the song they sung, mercy, mercy. Thank you for the word. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but what? Some people are trying to wash their sins away like they're washing their clothes. You can't get the stain out. You can't get the struggle out of your heart and out of your life. People struggle with wounds. People struggle with lies. People struggle with sins. What can wash all of it? I like how Smith Wigglesworth said, we honor the blood when we take the cup today. We honor the blood by saying, there's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. Come on. Come on. Everybody just lift your hands up. Say, there's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. Come on, say, there's nothing in me that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in me that the blood can't correct or change in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Not the blood of an animal, not the blood of a goat, not the blood of a bull. His own precious blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of God. And has made us. Everybody say, has made us. Now answer this question, excuse me. Is has made me past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense. So not only did Jesus love me, and not only did he loose me, but he also lifted me. You might say, Pastor, I was born on the wrong side of the track. I was born broke, busted, and disgusted. Pastor, you don't know. The struggle is very real. But Jesus lifted you to what? Kingly status. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Come on now. You're a peculiar people. You have king, or ladies, queen status. You have queen status. And you've been made a king and a priest unto God our Father. Why did he promote you and lift you to kingship or queenship? Because the word of a king is power. So your words now have power and authority. Praise God. And nobody can resist your words. Because you didn't make yourself a king. You didn't try to earn an election. Amen. You got lifted just as Jesus was lifted. Now he's King of Kings. Who's he king of? You. He's King of Kings, and he's what? Lord of what? Lord of Lords. Y'all see this? Turn a couple pages over to chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And have made us. They're worshiping God. They're talking about how they've been redeemed. And then he said, has made us what? Kings and priests to our God. And listen to this. And we shall reign where? Some people waiting to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now and remind you, the wait is over. Why are you dealing with all the darkness, evil deeds? But he gave us authority and the power to deal with them. Look, turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that means Adam blew it for everybody, much more, everybody say much more, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will what? Will reign. That's why we said authority is your God-given, but it's also grace-given. When God gives you something, he's not charging you for it. Amen. He's not sending you a bill in the mail for it. He is telling you, this is my grace gift to you. You've been given authority and power. And he's given you the gift of righteousness. Old English word used to be when they did the Bill of Rights for the U.S. Constitution, when they founded the United States or America, they call it the Bill of Righteousness. They just shorten it up and says Bill of Rights. That means you have a right. You have legal, spiritual rights. You have right standing with God. You've been given the gift of righteousness in order to do what? To reign. Now the inference or the implication is to reign as a king. In what? In life through who? Through the one, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you have a right and a privilege to rule in this life through Christ. Now the question is again, are you ruling, or are circumstances ruling and running over you? See, authority is a gift and a grace from God, activated and energized by our faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on the finished works of Jesus. his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. So when he says, remember me at the communion table, you're remembering that he died for you. He died your death. He stood in for you. He stepped up for you. He took your sin to the cross with him. Amen. Amen. He carried your sins to the grave and hell for you. But he rose from the dead to justify you, to treat you and me just as if we've never sinned before. Come on now. So we can receive the gift of righteousness, and we can reign in life, and we can serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Where he finished is where we start. What he did, it's credited to our account like we did it. So that's why communion is sometimes boring to people. Or monotonous, or we might say religiously traditional. There's no life. There's no life in the body or blood of Jesus. It's just a wafer that don't taste very good, and it's and it's some juice that may be stale or may be fresh. Come on now. But there's life in the body and life in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you know what it means, when you remember him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to read through the Message Bible, Message Translation. It says 15 through 23. Now, this is why when I heard of the solid trust that you have in the Master Jesus Christ and the outpouring of your love to all the followers of Jesus, I could not stop thanking God for you every time I prayed. I think of you and I give thanks. I do more than thank. I ask God for our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intellect and discerning, intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. That's a big one. Because many people aren't enjoying Jesus or experiencing Jesus. Either in the Word, so they get out of the Bible. They stop reading the Bible. Or either at the house. So instead of a heaven house, it becomes a hell house. Or at work or in their sphere of influence. See, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way. Listen to me, of life that he has for his followers. Do you know the immensity of the glorious way that he has for you? Now, we said it during the offering teaching. If your eye is evil, you never see a bright, beautiful, or blessed future. You only see your struggles. You never see your strengths. But what are you seeing? Do you see yourself as raised up next to Jesus? Do you see yourself as a king and a priest to rule and reign on this earth in this life through Christ? Do you see yourself in the realm of the Spirit where Jesus is and God the Father is, and you can oversee, you can override, and you can overrun? You ever been to a grocery store and the manager is not present at the moment? You're with a cashier or a customer service representative, and you go and buy something, and they got the wrong price. It's not the sale price that was put on the sticker, but the cashier or the customer service person can't do anything about it. So they'll call out or they'll ask for a manager, what? Override. So you can get what you were expecting to get in that sales transaction. Well, you have the authority to override the situations, negative situations, the nagging situations that are occurring in your life. But see, this is the immensity of his glorious way of life that he has for us as his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy, boundless strength. Now listen to this. Verse 20 picks it up this way. All this energy issues from Christ. Now, Christ is not an exterior or secondary thought. Christ is to be the centerpiece, the starting point, the focal point of your life. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the death and set him at the throne in deep heaven. What is he doing? In charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from his rule. It is not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all, and he has the final word on everything. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. At the center of all of this, listen to this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. People have made media God. A God. Like everything's peripheral around what's going on in the world. What's going on in media. What's going on in social media. See, the church is to be the center. The world is to be peripheral. Amen. The church is Christ's body, which he speaks and acts, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything with his presence. Now, let me give you some authority axioms just to do a checkup of your use and your access that you've been having to your authority. An axiom is simply this, a statement accepted as true as the basis for argument or inference, an established rule or principle or self-evident truth. So here's the first one. Here's the first one. If you won't submit to an authority, you can't be an authority. If you don't submit to authority, then you can't be an authority. Look at James 4:7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, some people don't want to be under authority, but they want to be in authority. They want the rights and the privileges of authority, but they don't want to, they resist the order and obedience of authority. Because, see, some people could sit in church or sit in their houses and be in silent rebellion to the will of God and to the word of God in their life. And they want to say, in the name of Jesus, you leave me alone, devil. And they feel like the devil goes, I ain't leaving. Because you're not submitted to God. One of the things that authority has to be operated in or expressed through is boldness. Some people don't have any boldness. Why is boldness not there? Why won't they use the name of Jesus? Why won't they plead the blood? Why won't they speak the word of God? Why? Because sin is in their heart. Unconfessed sin strips you of boldness. It's boldness to pray. It's boldness to say. And you'll be crying and weeping and say, devil, leave me alone. Oh, he's just teeing off on you. Amen. Number two, if you don't use or release your authority, you give your authority away. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, Amplified Classic. I'm gonna quote the King James, but it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit or declare proper and lawful on earth must be already permitted in heaven. In other words, what you allow, God has to allow. Some people say, well, why is this stuff running through my house? Why is this bad things running into my heart or in my head? What you allow, the Lord has to allow, because you've been given authority. Now, King James says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means you tie up, tie down, shut down, terminate. Whatever you shut down, terminate, tie up will be tied up in heaven. In other words, he's not talking about the third heaven like we've been talking on Tuesday night, that where God abides. You're not binding things up there. They're talking about the spiritual heaven or atmospheric heaven above us where we don't have authority over. the spiritual, angelic, demonic realm. You bind that up. He takes care of it up there. You take care of it down here. Whatever you loosed on earth will be loosened now. To loose means to shatter, scatter, and shut down. What have you been shattering, scattering, and shut down? He gave you that authority. If you don't use it and release it, you give it away unintentionally. Number three, whatever you don't resist, you will be resisted by it. You got to resist the worry. What do you got to do with the worries and cares and anxieties and concerns? You got to cast your cares and not carry them. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that means one who's arrayed against you, a foe, an opponent, your adversary, the devil, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, you got to resist the enemy. Amen. There are prayers and there are words that resist and rebuke the devil. And if you can't remember the last time you rebuked the devil, you probably let him taking too much ground in your life. I'm just being real with you. Verse 9 says, whom you resist steadfast in your faith. You got to stand your ground. You can't let the devil take your marriage. You can't let the devil take your mind. You can't let the devil take your money. You can't let the devil take your health. You got to stand your ground and resist him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Number four, it's not come what may, it's come what you say. It's not come what may, it's come what you say. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, amen, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. Whatever you say. What do you say? Some people say, well, people are saying what they have, but they're not having what they say. See, that's low-level speaking, because that's a fact report saying what I have. I have a cold. I have an allergy infection. I have coronavirus. I have this or that, instead of having what you say. What I say is, because my words of a king are powerful, I say, according to the word of God, I'm healed. I say, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Y'all getting this today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number five, if we don't speak to the its in your life, the its will speak to you. Let me turn to Luke. Luke verse chapter 4, verse 39, and he stood over her, talking about Jesus, and rebuked the fever. Wait a minute. He spoke to a fever? Well, some of us move real fast to get the pills. But we're not strong enough in our faith to move our lips. If you don't speak to the its in your life, the its will speak to you. That migraine head will come in throbbing and pounding and things like your head got out to bust. But is your faith strong enough to bust a move and say, you get off of me. I'm not having you, migraine. You don't belong here. I'm not having you, knee pain, arthritis pain. I'm not having you, chest pains. Back pain. Are you speaking to your its? Its includes anything or anything that's negative or trying to neutralize your life and negate your prosperity or your life enjoyment and experience of Jesus. Amen. Speak to the its in your life or the its will speak to you. He spoke to a fever. And the Bible says, And it, the fever, left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Now, listen about spiritual authority, because there's no limits on spiritual authority, because God is unlimited. And we've, many of you that have been around long enough, me, to hear me say this, in the spirit realm, there's no time nor distance. So sometimes the it's may be in another state. Sometimes the it's may be in another place at another time. But see, you break the barrier of time and distance in the realm of the spirit. That's why you and I have spiritual authority. We can speak at the house and it'll affect somebody else 100,000 miles away in another house. Hallelujah. Number six, if we contend, we contend with our spiritual foes from a position of victory and never for a place of victory. We contend with our spiritual foes from our position of victory and never for. So it's always a contention from, never for victory. And some people be trying to be pious or pretty, say, oh, I'm trying to get to victory. Oh, I'm trying to do this. No, that situation's trying you, to be honest about it. Amen. We're not trying. We're already in there. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is whose? Yours. It's ours. He's already got it. Now, let's conclude this with some final thoughts here. What is the scope of our authority? So why do we need authority? Why do we require spiritual power from God? What is the scope of our authority in Christ? So the scope of our authority is to do three main things. There's other things, but there's three main ones. Number one is to take dominion. Everybody say, take dominion. So here's the rubber meets the road. When you take communion today, you've got to come to a committed, consecrated choice before the table of the Lord, then I'm going to take dominion. Some of us, that may mean taking back what the devil has stole from me. What did he say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? He said, then God said, let us make man in our image and our own likeness, and let them. He said, let them. That means us. Everybody said, that means me. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Make male and female, he created them. Then God, listen to this, bless them. Everybody say, bless them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, or replenish the earth, it says in King James, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. Now, the dominion mandate, some people have misinterpreted it as a be dominated message. Everything else is going to dominate me. I'm not going to be a dominator. You're not created in Christ Jesus to take sides. You're here to take over for the kingdom. Amen. Be fruitful. Everybody say, be fruitful. Be fruitful. That's always constantly producing. What have you been producing lately? For the Lord, for the things of the Lord, and for the kingdom of God. Number two, multiply. Everybody say, multiply. Multiply. Always constantly increasing. Be fruitful, multiply, always constantly increasing. Number three, replenish. Everybody say replenish. That means overflow from the increase with no shortages. That means you're supposed to have increase to the point to where you got more than enough for you, but you got sufficient to help other people too. Now, this is what gets people really sometimes irritated, because they say, well, I'm in survival mode, Pastor. Well, you're not supposed to stay in survival status. You should move to success, where you have more than enough to take care of you, but extra to help somebody else in need. That's replenishing. That's filling up. And then number four, subdue. Everybody say subdue. Subdue. That means total control over your environment and your circumstance. Total control. That means when the enemy of your soul brings a negative or destructive circumstances against you, you rise up like a king and give the word of power and begin to take control, command and control over that situation. Now, some people have misinterpreted it as controlling people. That's manipulation. Over the devil, we should be operating in domination. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody say, preach it, Pastor. You're doing good. All right. And he blessed them. What did he do when he blessed them? It's the covenant of God that overrides the curse. See, when we take the communion table, it's a table of blessing. Corinthians tells us it's a table of blessing. It's not a curse table. It's not just a religious routine or regimen or exercise. It is a blessing reinstatement. It is a blessing covenant that you reactivate. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. The covenant of God that overrides the curse. It is the anointing of God through which divine flavor flows. It is the power to produce. When you take the table, you're getting power back. You're getting your authority reinstated, reactivated. I know nobody's ever had their phone get cut off because of, you know, late payment or no payment or forgot the payment. You know, I've been there once and it's the bet. And then they say, well, there's a reactivation fee. But see, here at the table, you can reactivate your power and authority that you've been granted in Christ. Amen. Number two, fulfill your God-given assignment. Somebody said, well, what am I here for? What do I want to do? What do I do when I grow up? Well, you do whatever you want to. No, wrong answer for Christians. You don't do whatever you want to do. You do it if you're a Christian. If you're a child of God, you do what he's created and called and commanded you to do. So what did he command you to do? What did he create you to do? He created you to serve God. What did he call you to do? He called you to serve God. What did he command you to do? He commands you to serve God. Until you get that right, life won't make any sense, because when you serve God, that means he's got an assignment that I have to get in alignment with, an agreement with. That means I do what God wants and not just what I want. Amen. Hallelujah. And one of our great assignments is the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28 says, he said, all power and authority given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go and make disciples. Some people aren't going, but they have to realize that God's given them delegated power to go. You've been given authority to go. The first words following Jesus' and following the words of our Great Commission is the details and descriptions of our authority. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. Supernatural signs. Signs and signals of our power and authority. Number three, enforce spiritual laws and reinforce Christ's triumph. So things are happening in your world that are not glorifying, magnifying, and honoring Christ, then God's counting on you through Jesus to stop it, to shut it down, to shatter it, to scatter it, to bind it up, tie it up, to terminate it, to tell the demons, you're fired, get out of here. Is this too much for y'all? Y'all good? In first the laws of the spirit. Because, see, the devil is a liar, but also a lawbreaker. And so he's breaking the law of love over your house or over the law of God over your life when he's trying to come contrary or crosswise to your covenant. No, that doesn't belong to me. Get out of here. That's illegal. That's immoral. That's unethical. You got to enforce it. You are like the San Antonio Police Department, SAPD, or Bear County Sheriff's Department. They come in uniform, and those guys wear badges and stuff. And when they're out there in front of traffic, they can't physically stop a 18-wheeler tractor-trailer truck. But they have the authority to when they get out in the middle of that road and put up their hand and say, stop. Because their authority is to do that is backed by the city of San Antonio or the county of Bear County. They're backed. We are backed by the highest government that exists in the universe. We're backed by God and backed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent him. And when we say stop, it has to stop. Come on, y'all lift your hands and thank God for this. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Now, as we get ready to close, I want you to remember that the devil is fixed. Jesus defeated and fixed the devil for good and destroyed all his power. We have victory over Satan and all his cohort agents, their wiles, their deceits, and strategies. See, we have a broad scope of our authority as individuals and collectively as a body of believers. See, families can stop stuff running in their family. They can get together and pray and pull that stuff down, tear that stuff down, terminate it, shatter it, scatter it. But too often families fighting and fussing, operating in discord and disagreement. And then it doesn't work. Because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put, 10,000 to flight. You can get a husband and wife, and they can run 10,000 demons off of their territory. Hallelujah. Our scope of authority means we can release and exercise our God-given, grace-given authority in our homes, immediate, extended families. Your faith can work out to your cousin level. And some people haven't been doing that. They haven't been using the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and breaking Satan's power over their lives. You know they running around smoking drugs and blowing their brains out with all kind of illegal and unethical stuff. You use the name of Jesus and break Satan's power over their life. Don't sit there and say, man, and we're just going to talk about that person. And then what happens? Sin gets in your heart. And then you lose your boldness and your access to your authority. You can minister God's healing power. You can set the captives free from Satan's snares, habits, addictions, vices, bondages. You can overcome the spirits of fear, depression, and poverty. You can perform the works of miracles in Jesus' mighty name. You can commission holy angels and angelic forces and powers to assist and aid you in your situation, your job, your business, your ministry, your legal affairs. You can activate and appropriate the blood and power the blood of Jesus over sin, sickness, Satan, satanic oppression, shame, sorrow, and sadness. You can access and activate your spiritual equipment and resources to accomplish and fulfill your God-ordained assignment and appointment. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, we have the power and the authority, ladies and gentlemen, to take the word of God and the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and that and the power of the Holy Spirit and run Satan off of our affairs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity to hear from your heaven, to hear from your word, to receive for some an introduction, for others a reintroduction.